Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, September 22nd. State economists told lawmakers on the Joint Budget Committee Wednesday that Colorado's economy remains strong. Benta Berkland has more.
Colorado still has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country at 2.4%, and our economy overall is expected to grow moderately through 2019. According to nonpartisan legislative economists, the state's economy is at capacity in most markets, which they say could cause overheating in the job market. Also, national and international politics could shock the economic system, and economists say the expansion is fragile, so a recession could be triggered in the next 2 years. I'm Benta Berkland.
And in a follow-up to that story, the Denver Post reports that while the Colorado economy is growing at a steady clip, rural communities continue to lag behind the booming Front Range. Much of the growth in the economy is due in part to rebounding oil prices that have energy companies adding rigs in Colorado for the first time since 2015. The number of active oil and gas rigs in Colorado plummeted from about 80 at the end of 2014 to a low of 15 in May of 2016. Since then, the industry has brought at least 22 more oil rigs online in Colorado. But rural Colorado communities are expected to continue to lag behind the Front Range. A big drop in agricultural commodity prices and the ongoing struggles of the coal industry are two of the main reasons rural economies in the state are not growing. Demand for coal has plummeted in recent years, overtaken by natural gas as a cheaper and cleaner burning fuel source. The shift in demand wiped out more than 900 of the 2,118 coal jobs the state had in 2003. Further, the agriculture sector's gross domestic product fell 20% in the first quarter of 2017, decreasing income and leading some farmers and ranchers to take out loans to make ends meet. In a related story, the effects of Hurricane Harvey continue to play havoc on the oil industry, leading to higher gas prices. Oil-producing states like North Dakota, Wyoming, and Colorado are feeling the impact of the refinery shutdowns in Houston due to the hurricane. Inside Energy's Amy Sisk filed this story.
Oil industry groups and state officials in North Dakota, the country's second biggest oil producer, say the hurricane isn't yet having a measurable impact. Instead, the impact is happening when oil leaves the state. Much of North Dakota's oil travels to the Midwest on pipelines. The same goes for oil out of Colorado and Wyoming. There, it's either turned into products like gasoline, or it's sent down to refineries in Texas or Louisiana. But with those Gulf refineries shut down,
you'll see increased refinery demand in the Midwest as it makes up for the loss of gasoline supply in the U.S. Gulf Coast here in the short term.
Nicole Leonard is with Platts Analytics Oil and Gas Consulting. She says it's also possible Western states could see more oil train traffic if companies choose to ship oil to West Coast refiners instead of to the Gulf.
The upside to Bakken producers, as well as Colorado and Wyoming producers, is that they still have access to rail infrastructure.
This would temporarily reverse a trend in these states in recent years. Transporting oil by rail had fallen way off as companies built new pipelines to get oil to market. A lot depends on how much damage refineries sustained in the storm, whether pipelines in the region stay shut down, and how quickly ports in the Gulf can open back up to export crude stored in the region.
Without the ability to do so, we have inventories growing here, and the value of our crude is lower because it's stuck.
If the price of crude continues to drop due to these disruptions, Leonard says it would affect producers in oil-rich states. Oil is currently worth $47 per barrel. If it drops below $40, producers won't be able to make a profit, and drilling new wells would likely taper off. While all this plays out, drivers are noticing a spike in gasoline prices. Gene LaDucer is with AAA in North Dakota.
There's plenty of gasoline out there in storage and ready to serve the needs. It's just that it's virtually impossible at this time to get that gasoline that's available to the markets where it's needed because of, you know, flooded roads and pipelines that are down and power outages and those types of issues.
As a result, the average gasoline price in the nation is the highest it's been all year at $2.45 per gallon. Leducer says the jump in price is highest in eastern and southern states that get gasoline from the Gulf, where refineries and pipelines are shut down. Western states get their gasoline from other parts of the country, but they're still feeling an impact. In North Dakota, Leducer says a gallon of gasoline has jumped 10 to 15 cents since Tuesday. And he thinks it may rise another 10 cents in the coming days, just in time for Labor Day weekend, when a lot of people are traveling.
Unfortunately, with the price spikes we're seeing, it could encourage some people to stay home. You know, once you start seeing your gasoline go up, you know, 10, 15, 20 cents or more, it might start to impact on your household budgets a little bit.
But he says the impact won't last too much longer. He expects prices to return to normal by mid-September. By then, analysts say some of the Gulf refineries should be back online and ports opened up, helping provide certainty to an industry where so much can be rattled by a force of nature. For Inside Energy, I'm Amy Sisk.
The Health Centers Program, which funds 1,400 community health centers that serve some 27 million patients across the country, is set to expire on October 1st. If Congress doesn't take action, some 62,000 patients in Colorado will lose coverage. Eric Galatis has the story.
As the Senate races to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act before September 30th, another health deadline is getting much less attention. If the U.S. House does not re-up funding before October 1st for the Health Centers program, which 1,400 health centers serving 27 million patients nationwide depend on, the program could lose 70% of its federal funding. Ross Brooks is the CEO of the Mountain Family Health Centers.
There's about 62,000 patients who get their care through community health centers in Colorado who are at risk of losing their care. At my community health center in Western Colorado, there's about 6,000 patients that are at risk.
The Community Health Investment Modernization and Excellence Act has been introduced in the House, which Brooks says would provide level funding this year and guarantee a solid stream of funding over the next 5 years. The bill currently has 13 co-sponsors, and two members of Colorado's delegation have said they'll officially join the effort after recess. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.